Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Weekly Wash as we review all the key races from the weekend, taking particular notice of Caulfield, of course, with the carnival on, and also the meeting up in Sydney with the running of the first Everest. Paul Daly is with us from Ratings to Win. What a wonderful racing spectacle across a couple of states on the weekend, Paul.
Oh, it was, Nadia. And look, I have to say in hindsight, congratulations to the ATC and Racing New South Wales for the Everest and the concept. It was an amazing thing to see, and great to see such big crowds back at the races. I mean, I take it that obviously a lot of them were probably just the party goers, but there was obviously record amounts wagered, and it was good to hear that a lot of bookmakers on course as well had significant increases in holds. So, you know, that's what we've got to try and drive, is the wagering side of the business, and hopefully pique that interest and get people back to the track.
Definitely. Well, let's have a look at Caulfield, and we'll go through these races. Starting off with the first, this was a two-year-old race, the Debutante Stakes. It was taken out by Quaffler. How did you rate the standard of the two-year-old colts and fillies?
Yeah, not flash, Nadia. And the actual overall times were pretty ordinary, and there's not much to take out of it from my point of view. I couldn't be recommending any of these going forward.
Okay, well, let's have a look at race one. We go over to race number two. This market was quite an open market, and we had Invincible Star, the winner for Gay Waterhouse.
Yeah, look, this horse led and did a great job, and, you know, won by a big margin, ran time, which is good. I mean, it's only lightly raced, and Gay has the ability to sort of get these horses going early in their preparation. A lot of these horses underperformed. I thought Jordan was disappointing, had every possible chance. A horse like Lucria, I think it's called, trained by David Hayes. Look, I think its run was probably a forgive run. There's a couple of others that you can probably forget in the race as well. But, you know, there was a pattern on Saturday at Caulfield, and you had to be in the right part of the track, I felt.
We go to race three. This was a Group 3 race for mares. It was won by Tony McAvoy's Cool Passion, who had been campaigning in Adelaide.
Yeah, and it had come off a run in Adelaide where it sort of missed a run at the, you know, at a point in the race where, you know, it probably would have been able to win that race or get closer. It certainly held its figures and sort of ran up to its better figures in winning that on Saturday. I think the price stable was sort of reasonably keen on Padrina going into that race, and, you know, it was a pretty bunch finish towards the end of it with the other price runner, Princess of Queens and Miss Gunpowder featuring there. Legless Verve, we mentioned on a previous podcast, Nadia, it pulled up lame. So, you know, you've got to put a line through that run, but you have to wonder what might have been despite that, given the ease and the betting. Look, I backed a horse in this race called Overstep at good odds and had a bit of a crack at it, Nadia, after they said they were going to go forward on it. But at no stage did Gwyn Schofield show any intention, I don't think, of going forward. And, you know, if you were where you were on Saturday, then where it was, you didn't have much hope. So perhaps it's still got some upside in it from this race. But, look, there's not a lot to take out of it.
We got a race four, Herbert Power, 2,400 metre Group 2 race. It was won by Lord Fandango. Look, how would you rate the standard of this Herbert Power in comparison to others, in particular heading towards the Caulfield Cup?
Well, they ran good time. I mean, there's a bit of a case of last man standing. Wall of Fire, the import, you know, it went quite well. Gallic Chifton did a good job. Boom Tyne is, you know, a fairly consistent horse that tends to rate within a fairly narrow band and range. Look, I think there's others, but that I'd be looking at. But look, overall, there's no knocks in the race anyway.
The fifth was the Weekend Hustler. This was won by Fast and Rocking. What did you make of this race and performance?
Yeah, a bunch finish at the end, Nadia, and you know the couple of horses at long odds figured in there. Look, it had the right run, I think, Fast and Rocking. It's one of those horses that doesn't win too often. It's a bit hard to catch, but yeah, it has ability on its day. A lot of these are, you know, well seasoned older horses that are a bit in and out. So I don't think I'd be recommending anything out of this race. Overall, the time wasn't flash. Certainly, if they ran below par, so I wouldn't be suggesting anything out of this race.
Okay, we raised 6,000 guineas. Well, the favourite obviously is rated a little off what it had been doing, seeing it was so solid in the market. How did you line these horses up?
Yeah, I backed the favourite, Nadia, and I wasn't all that impressed with the ride once again. But look, you know, I wouldn't be sacking it on that run. The winner is a horse I gave a chance to. I marked it about 9-1, and it was much better odds than that late on Betfair. There was a little bit of support for it in the ring. It had gone well at Doomben in the JJ Atkins, I thought, and you know, it was this was a nice race for it. There was a bit of confidence from the stable. Aaron Purcell's training very well at the moment. Obviously, this horse was ex-QMR. Look, it came up the inside and you know, got the right run and so forth. But it was strong enough, and you know, it's still probably in for a reasonable campaign, I think. Booker pulled up lane. Most of the others had every chance, except the favourite was in the wrong spot. And Lever and Lace bled, I believe.
We go to race 7, Caulfield Stakes, first of the group ones, second of the group ones actually, over 2,000 metres. And this is a typical market intelligence race where they wanted to risk Hartnell and also Bonneville to some extent. They're all over the winner, Galo Show, who they bet as much as, I think, $8, $9 early on.
Yeah, look, Aaron Weir was too good here, and I might have underestimated this horse a little bit, Nadia. Having spoken to you previously about it, I think, when it raced in Adelaide. It certainly improved, and Darren Weir's got that polish that seems to get these stayers ready at the right time. You're right, the market was very soft on that Bonneville Hartnell form line. It certainly didn't stand up in this race. Look, John Snow went okay. It had every chance. I thought the second horse was good. It put in a decent effort, the import, so certainly I wouldn't be writing it off. Bonneville did actually pull up lame and suffered an injury. Rive and Light, it was a horse that was much longer in the odds. It was injured in the race as well. So few things to forgive there, but yeah, look, I'm not quite sure. I think, you know, Bonneville's been well suited in some of its races so far.
Okay, we go to the Guineas, which was the big one, the Group 1 3-year-old 1600 metre race, and this was taken out by a horse at big odds in Mighty Boss, who come off of a performance at Moonee Valley last time out. Look, it's always a race that we usually see a lot of classic horses come out of it, but how did you rank the standard this year, Paul?
Well, it was certainly good for your subscribers, Nadia. I believe you found this horse. And look, from a ratings perspective, it did look to be big odds going into that race. Look, once again, it came up the inside. Kemetari looked like it was going to go and just win the race. And your horse was able to take the shortcuts there and win the race at cricket score odds. Look, in terms of quality, Nadia, it's a rating below what you typically expect for a Guineas. Catchy, maybe it was a victim of sort of where it was in the race. Kemetari looked like it was going to win. Royal Symphony sort of had no luck. But you know, it's a horse that's always going to face that type of problem given its run pattern and its style. It's certainly rated below what you'd expect for a typical Guineas.
We go to race 9. This was the Toorak, and Tossin Stardom back in form and winning at Group 1 level.
Yeah, look, this horse, I've backed this horse before and been on the wrong side of it. It was a good ride, I thought, and it was able to get the job done. But just looking at these SPs, Nadia, $10 the winner, $20 the second horse, $100 to 1 the third horse, $90 to 1 the fourth, $80 to 1 the fifth. There's a lot of, a lot of question marks, I suppose, around that going forward in terms of form. But the overall time was a little bit above what you'd expect for that type of race. So, you know, you can't pot it. But Tossin Stardom is a horse that, you know, can really perform on its day, but it can also put in a couple of bad ones as well.
We go to the Scalacci race at 10, Group 2 sprint race, and this was won by Super Cash, who was quite steady in the betting.
Yeah, had a nice run throughout the race, Super Cash, illustrious lad. Set up on speed and sort of boxed on. But once again, there was two lengths between about 6 feet runners, Narnia. And it doesn't say too much for the form, but the times weren't that bad or anything. Rock Magic, you know, it's racing consistently, going well. Shidel, not sure about whether it's come up. I heard some people saying that the Moya was run at a fast place and it was high pressure. It looked that way, but it wasn't in terms of the numbers that I've got here. Lankan Rupee's run its last race, I believe. Hellbent, never been a horse I can follow, but look, it did run on from the back. I think Nadia horses like Rock Magic and so forth can continue to race well.
Okay. Having a look at the two main ones up in Sydney, the Everest and the Craven Plate. First of all, let's touch on the Everest. This is a concept that was under a lot of scrutiny when it was first introduced, but I tell you what, it really worked for them as far as crowd figures and even just the talk on the race. The build-up was amazing, and Red Zell's just a consistent performer.
Yeah, look, I had Red Zell marked on my third line, and it was about the price. In fact, it was a bit better in the market than when I had it. So hopefully people read my spread in the Courier Mail, they might have had something on it. The horse I was really against all the way through here, Nadi, was She Will Reign. I couldn't get the horse shorter than about $13. It was around about the $9 or $5.50 mark, $6 in the betting. It all just sort of came a bit too soon for it. This was very much a genuine Group 1 in terms of standards. At the special conditions, though, it's not listed as a Group 1. And should be, in my opinion. Vega Magic was definitely the unlucky runner in the race. Question marks over to ride, but irrespective of that, it did a terrific job to make ground down the outside where horses weren't actually coming. Brave Smash raced really well. Chautauqua did a really good job as well. It kept trying. The problem for it, though, is that it sort of just gets back and is one of those runners that's always going to face trouble. English, I thought, was, just there. Clearly Innocent didn't sort of put in on Saturday. Deploy, it had suffered enough, I think, pressure in the race early. But look, Red Zell, all honours to the winner. The second horse is a nice, very, very nice horse and can continue to be followed. I'm not sure what they're going to do now with it. And She Will Reign, well, we'll just have to wait and see about it. But even its first up win, it was pretty much a little bit suited in the Moya as well. So, it ran on against the bias that night, but it hasn't produced the numbers to date that would suggest it can match it with the best of those in that field.
The Craven Plate Group 3 2,000-metre race. Take us through this, Paul, because we had a short price favourite in Happy Clapper who was beaten, and just having a look at the preliminary data, it doesn't look like they've gone that hard either.
No, they've gone very slow, Nadia. They've gone about, 7-8 lengths slow to the 600-metre mark. The Happy Clapper bounced quite well. There was obviously some concern about the 2,000 metres, perhaps in connections' minds. They thought, I'll ride it quiet to be able to get the distance. It was travelling better than any horse in the run. But Blake Shin made a bad decision there. He could have ended up about a length and a half behind. He's our Rocky in the race. And I believe taking the race quite easily. He's allowed himself to drift right back in that slowly run race, and then he tried to sustain a run from about the 650-metre mark home and was just beaten on the line. So he did a terrific job to actually get so close considering the slow early tempo. He had a lot on those runners in terms of quality. So disappointing for anyone that backed it. Certainly wouldn't be sacking it. The horse is going the best it's ever been. Classic Uniform is just one of those horses that makes his own luck and gets up on speed. McCreary, it was expected to improve up in distance and racing a bit closer to the speed. Star Exhibit had his chance. So for mine, if there's one to follow, I suppose Happy Clapper is it for me going forward.
Wonderful. Paul, thank you for that as always, and we look forward to your analysis, post-race analysis throughout the Spring Carnival.
Thanks, Nadia.
That's Paul Daly from ratingstowin.com.au with this week's wrap of the weekend's racing.